Welcome to Arbor Bridge Church's weekly podcast with your teacher, Daryl Canty. Arbor Bridge Church exists to bridge the gospel and our community by connecting people to Jesus and each other. Visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.
I love to hand over control to others until they don't do things my way. In my quiet moments, when I'm all super spiritual, I love to surrender control to Jesus. But as soon as his agenda starts to conflict with mine, as soon as Jesus starts taking too long, or as soon as Jesus doesn't play things out the way that I expected, I feel this overwhelming urge to take control back from him. One of the best things that I do for Christ comes out of situations where he does not give me any choice, that all the only choice I have is surrender. And for leaders, especially if you're a good leader, surrender can be a difficult thing, because there are situations where good leaders need to exert control over situations or organizations or people. So Montina, my wife and I, went to an event where we watched the Flint Symphony Orchestra perform. And they were so together. They played as a unit. As we watched the violin players, it looked like they were performing a dance together. They all seemed to move in sync with each other like they had one mind. In order for that to happen, the conductor had to exert a level of control over the group. If someone wanted to play a different song, that couldn't be tolerated. If someone wanted to start their song at a different time, that couldn't be tolerated. They all had to play the same song, and they all had to play at the same time. For someone like a conductor, you can see how it'd be hard to answer the question, when's the right time for taking control and when's the right time for surrender? And we all find ourselves in that kind of struggle because we all have areas in our lives where we want to control, and maybe you would say you should control. Well, how do we manage the tension between surrender and control? And there's a starting point that's mentioned all throughout the Bible for Jesus' followers. Everyone who follows Jesus should know this. Even if you're a leader or a boss or a king or a chief or a conductor, it's the idea that all of us have to start with surrendering our lives to Christ. Arguably one of the greatest kings in history, and certainly my pick for the greatest king of Israel, is a Jewish man named David. And David was great because he always remembered that he was king, but he wasn't the king. He knew that he was king, but he remembered that he wasn't the king. And so David had set a great example. And so later on, his son wrote this. It says, "Trust in the Lord." Maybe you know this. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, obey him. Then he will make your paths smooth and straight." Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, obey him, that he will make your paths smooth and straight. One of the most quoted verses in the Bible, one of the most popular verses in the Bible, one of the most difficult verses in the Bible to implement, to actually live out. Surrender to Christ. Surrender to Jesus Christ. Today, right now, this moment, surrender to Jesus Christ. Surrender this moment, and then the next moment, and then the next moment. We were talking before we got into this worship service how it is very difficult to remain surrendered to Christ, but we take it moment by moment. And if I take back control from Jesus, I surrender the next moment. Surrender to Christ. And this is honestly what stops people from following Jesus. When you talk to people about following Jesus, they really, what it comes down to isn't necessarily all the other things. It's just, I don't want to surrender. I don't want to give up to Jesus control. They don't trust that his way is the best way. They don't trust that God is going to give them what they want. So when you surrender to someone, obviously you're placing a measure of trust in them. You're saying, "I trust you enough to surrender to you." So if a police officer pulled her gun on you, for some reason, whatever reason it is, you have a choice. You can choose to surrender, or you can choose to find a way to take control of the situation.
And if you surrendered, you would be trusting that she wasn't going to harm you. And there's a lot of people in our nation, as you, many of you guys know, there's a lot of people in our nation who don't have that confidence. They're not sure that police officers in their community are for them. They've seen police officers treat people poorly or take advantage of people. They feel like maybe the police officers in their lives have used too much force. And they want to ask the question, are these guys really for me? They're just not sure that the police officers that they've seen and that they've known are for them, and it's difficult for them to surrender. And maybe that's our problem with God, right? Maybe that's our problem with the Lord, is that we're just not sure he's for us. We're just not sure that he really has our best interest in mind. And to some people, God seems unfair, or he allows too many terrible things to happen to you so that he can't be trusted. And maybe you feel like he's made you a promise that he hasn't delivered on. How can you surrender to God if you're not sure that he's for you? That's super hard. So typically when I learn a lesson, I have to learn the hard way. I have to go through it, I have to experience it, and I have to have terrible things happen, and then I learn, I say, oh, okay, now I get it. Now I understand what I'm supposed to do. And we would say that's wise, to learn from our mistakes. If you can learn from your mistakes and not make those mistakes again, that's wise. But we've talked before about something that's better, though. There's something that you can do that's better. God gives us the opportunity not only to learn from our own mistakes, but we can learn from the mistakes of others. If we can learn from the mistakes of other people and avoid their consequences, that's supernatural. That's beyond wise. That's even better. It's even better. The Bible is a compilation of letters and historical documents that God put together so that we could learn from other people's mistakes. We can learn from what other people have done and not make the same mistakes that they do. So today I want to share a story from some folks who were surrendered to God, and then they decided God couldn't be trusted, and they took back control. You can't surrender to someone who is not on the same schedule as you, right? When God's not on my schedule, I can't surrender to him. So in the first book of the Bible called Genesis, the historian records the life of a man named Abram, who becomes Abraham, if you've ever heard of Abraham. And God makes his promise to Abram and his wife, Sarai, that they're going to have a baby and that they're going to be the parents of a great nation. But they're getting older. Sarai's past the prime in regards to having kids. And so that's when you start to worry. When you're past your prime, or when the opportunity seems to be passing, you think that if I let this opportunity pass, then what's going to happen? And this is what was happening to her. She was like, our time's running out. And so she wants to grab control. And when you don't see God coming through in the way that you think he's supposed to, or you think he should, that's when you feel like, you know, you can't trust the Lord with all your heart, and you feel like you have to lean on your own understanding. You feel like you have to do his thing. And so you grab the steering wheel back from him. And here's how it went for Sarai. This is what it says in Genesis 16. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. So pause. Guys, we all know, if your wife says something like this to you, it's a trap. Don't know. Be like, no, it's a trap, it's a test. Don't be playing. No. Okay, just putting that out there. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. I don't know if you realize this, but the consequences of this one decision are so far reaching, it's hard to overstate. It's mind-bending. So the son of Hagar is a man named Ishmael. Ishmael has a descendant maybe you've heard of named Muhammad. Muhammad is the founder of Islam. And also the descendants of Ishmael become the Palestinians. So later, Sarai ends up having a son like God promised she would. And his name is Isaac. And when that happens, when the both of them have kids, there's increased tension between Sarai and Hagar, which I'm sure you could guess or you could imagine that would happen. The descendants of Isaac become the Jewish people, the Israelites. The descendants of Isaac is also a man named Jesus Christ, the founder of Christianity. Still, today, in the Middle East, there is increasingly all over the world, but there's still this tension between Palestinians and Jewish people. In the Middle East right now, it's increasingly dangerous to be a Jesus follower because Muslims are finding you and killing you. There have been wars throughout history between these two groups of people. Imagine how things would have been different if Abram chose to stay surrendered to God, to surrender control to God and to keep it there. If they did not choose to take things into our own hands, what would history be? What would history be in regards to those two groups of people? God's word teaches us how to live. Will we surrender to his word? Will we say, in regards to his word, will we say, I surrender all, I'm going to forget it, you be in control, you take the wheel? Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to do that? So here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do before we go any further. I want to just give you a few minutes. We're going to take a few minutes to think about, ask the question, name the thing that you are trying to control. And if you're honest, we all have things that we try to control. Are you trying to control your reputation or your kids or your future or your kids' future or whatever? I want you to take a second before we go any further in this service and name the thing you are trying to control, because I want you to choose to surrender it. I want you to choose to surrender it to the Lord, to trust the Lord rather than to have control. So I'm going to give you a few seconds of silence to name the thing that you're trying to control. I just challenge you, even if you're not a Jesus follower, just to think in your life, what am I trying to control? And then I'm going to pray for you. So take a few seconds and then I'll pray. Father, there are things that each of us are trying desperately to control. And to be honest, it's exhausting. It's exhausting and it's a losing battle. We want to place those things under your control. And even for those of us in the room, of those of us who are here today who are not Jesus followers, I pray that you'd help us to realize what it is that we can control and what we cannot. And I pray that it would be an opportunity. And I pray that we can answer the question, can you be trusted with the things that we want to control? I pray that we'd help us to look into the answer to that question. Can you be trusted with the things that we are longing to control? Show us what it looks like when we control things, and show us what it looks like when you control things. And then help us decide which one's better. Which one do we want? Which one do we truly want? In Jesus' name, amen. So, I told you before, we have the opportunity to learn from other people's mistakes. You have the opportunity to learn from Abram's mistake and what it looks like to control things. When you try to control things in your life, there can be terrible consequences. And not just for you, but your family and your future family. So I want to give you three questions. They're going to help you choose surrender over control and help you figure out if you're being too controlling in your life. So first question is this. Is it worth my concern? Is it worth my concern? God knows that I try to control things that are not my concern, not my business. God knows I try to control things that aren't going to matter 15 minutes from now, let alone 15 years from now. So consider how it would change your relationships if you ask the question, is it worth my concern? Is it worth my investment? We are willing to ruin relationships in order to control something in that relationship. We're going to talk about this more next week, but let me share on it just for a second, just for a little bit. Jesus, when he was on earth, had a friend, her name was Martha, who was like this. One time when she was really concerned about something, she wanted to control the situation. This is what happened. Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." Pause. When you're trying to control something, doesn't this describe you? Doesn't it describe us when we're trying to make what we want to have happen, happen? "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." And then he says this, "Only few things are important. Only few things are worth your concern." There are tons of things you're worried about, but not many are worth your concern. You are worried and troubled about many things. Step back and ask the question, of the things that you're worried about, are they worth your concern? Maybe they are. Second question is this, to help you stay surrendered to surrender your control, is it mine to control? Am I supposed to be controlling this thing? And maybe it is. I'm going to put that out there. Maybe it is. If it's yours to control, do something about it. Surrendering control is not the same as relinquishing responsibility. So we see Abram's wife come to him and say, "Hey, why don't you sleep with my slave?" And this was a situation for him to step up and control. This was a situation for him to say, "Yeah, no, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to trust what God's told us and follow his lead." But instead, he surrenders control of a situation that he shouldn't have. But there are things that are not for you to control. For example, God tells Abraham, "You're going to have a kid." Abraham says, "Well, this is when I'm going to have the kid." And God says, "That's not for you to control. I said, this is what's going to happen. You've got to trust that it's going to happen and not be bothered about the when." Is it yours to control? Is it yours to control? You know, I would love to control the day I die, who my kids marry, how people respond to the gospel, how people respond when I do a sermon. If I could control you, I'd be like, everyone would come forward at the end and be crying, and you'd be like, "What, Daryl? You're so good. You're such a great speaker." It's a funny thing because, and we've talked about this before, one of the reasons why we are terrified to share the gospel is because we think we have to control how people respond to the gospel. And we say things like this. We say things like this. "Well, what if they don't accept what I'm saying?" Okay, so we're going to back up to our second question. Is it yours to control? I'm in control of whether or not I share the gospel. I'm not in control of how people respond to the gospel. So I make my business sharing the gospel. I make my business sharing what Jesus is about. And then people, how they respond to it, out of my control. Not my business. Not my concern. When we embrace that people's response to Christ is not ours to control, we can be free to control what is ours or to control. Last question. Last question is this. To help you surrender control is this. Is it for God alone? Is it for God alone? Listen to this verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So all my controllers in the room, come on, come on. Listen again, listen again. Do not be anxious about anything. Super hard not to be anxious when you're trying to control everything in your life. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present those requests to God. I'm going to give everything I'm trying to control, I'm presenting that to God. And then there's peace. The peace of God, which is beyond what people can understand, will guard your heart and your minds in Jesus Christ. So when you try to control what you can't control, you're going to be anxious. And there are many people walking around with so much anxiety, and lots of it's due to the simple fact of they're trying to control something that's only God's to control. So present your quest to God, and God's peace will protect you. So can you change your spouse? That's for God alone. Can you heal your loved ones? That's for God alone and the doctors. Can you control your kids' future? That's for God alone. We think we can control our kids' future if we push them enough, and if we control it enough, and we make sure that... Let me tell you something. When you follow Jesus, you are not in control. When you follow Jesus, you are not in control. In the skit, we saw how Silver desired to follow Jesus. She desired to surrender control to him, but she found it impossible to remain controlled to Christ. And we were saying right in our meeting before we got ready to share with you guys what we're doing today, we said, isn't it funny? Surrender is such a passive thing to do. You would think that we'd be able to do it. I can surrender, right? If I can't do anything else in my life right, I can surrender, right? No. I can't do anything right apart from Christ. I can't even surrender right apart from Christ. So I need Jesus' help in order for me to surrender. Let me tell you, when you learn this, when you're willing to embrace this, when you're willing to accept this, Christ comes in and is able to do things in our lives that are so powerful. I came to share with somebody today that it's not your concern. It's not your concern. It's not yours to control. That it's God's alone to control.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on our church, visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.